Today we're going to continue in our study of the Holy Spirit, dealing with the third part of the filling of the Holy Spirit. We've really looked into this pretty completely, and we're working our way through. Let me, if I might, read our key verse. We'll have a word of prayer, then we'll get right in the Word. Hope you're doing good today, and you got a hunger in your heart. God will just feed you and fill you up and bless your soul and prepare to be used for the glory of God. But here's our verse, Ephesians 5:18. But be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, I told you before, God used this as an example. Someone that is drunk with wine is controlled by that wine. He's fully intoxicated. Now, you and I are to be filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, intoxicated with our love and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, the power of God indwelling us and manifesting itself to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just give us a quick review, and then I'll pray and we'll get right into the message for today. First of all, we talked about why we need to be filled. That was our first segment. We talked about that this verse is a command. It's not a recommendation for super saints or preachers or deacons. It is for every believer, all of us. The third thing we talked about were the conditions for the filling of the Holy Spirit. First, a desire to be filled. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. That longing for the Lord, to be what Jesus wants you to be. The second thing was the denouncing of sin in our lives. That when the Holy Spirit convicts us, that we say, God, I don't want that in my heart. I don't want that in my life. I want to be like you. Then the third thing that we looked at was dedicating yourself totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind. So we see this dedicating yourself, your body, that you're going to strive to live holy, dedicated to the Lord, your mind, which is your focal point of your mind on Christ, and that impacts your will. You become transformed, not conformed, and you become a transformer, not a conformer. Now, we talked about what stops the process. What stops this filling, daily filling, and hourly filling of the Holy Spirit in our life? Number one, you quench the Spirit. See, God has baptized you with the Holy Spirit, and He says, and with fire, that burning fire in your soul for God. But see, you can put the fire out by saying no to the Holy Spirit. You can quench that fire. Maybe it's not doing something God told you to do. Maybe you say no to God, and you're really then in rebellion to the Lord. The second one he talks about is we grieve the Holy Spirit, and we've talked about this, by doing something he tells you not to do. Ephesians 4, verse 30 tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about the lying, anger, giving place to Satan, verse 27, stealing, verse 28, corrupt communications, verse 29, bitterness in your heart. And so we look at this, we see a desire to be filled, and then denouncing your sin, and then dedicating yourself to the Lord. The fourth thing now we'll pick up here is depending daily on the Holy Spirit, depending daily upon the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, look back to Galatians, if you would, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we've talked to some degree about this. We want to look at verse 16 through 18, and let me read it to us, chapter 5, verse 16. Watch what he says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, one segment just on walking in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not walking in the flesh. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he talks about the flesh, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. There's a battle goes on in our hearts and our lives. That old fleshly nature of ours wars against the will of God and the work of God. So the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. But thank goodness, it's not a one-way battle, listen. And the Spirit against the flesh. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you, battles back. He battles back in this issue and in this situation. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? When I walk in the Spirit, if I do not transfer my weight to my next leg, I'll fall. So I take one step at a time. God orders the steps of the righteous man. I depend on that foot, that leg. I step forward, and by faith, I'm trusting in that next step that my leg is going to carry the weight, and I'm going to keep moving, depending and trusting in the Holy Spirit to lead me each step of my life. Now watch for these. He says, these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would, but if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're free in Christ Jesus. And see, Lord, I just take my hand. I'm going to transfer my weight on you, not on the world, not on myself, but to you. Lord, you're in control of my life. You're the one that I depend upon. Romans chapter 8, wonderful, wonderful chapter on the Holy Spirit. And listen to chapter 8, verse 4. I mean, chapter 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you've been born again, you've been baptized in Christ Jesus, you're part of the body of Christ, there's no condemnation on you. You've been forgiven, washed in the blood. And then he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, the principle here, the principle of the Spirit of life, in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So when I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not fulfilling the sin nature. I'm not walking in the way of death. I'm not acting like a carnal Christian or a natural man. Verse 3, for what the law could not do. Now this is the Mosaic law. Could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law would tell you do this, but it didn't give you the power to do it. But listen. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus came and died on the cross, condemning the sin in the flesh. Now, why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see that? That's a marvelous, marvelous thing that Christ has come in us, and we're walking in this new law, the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made us free. And that's why God wants us, that's to depend daily upon the Holy Spirit and walk with Him. Now, let's look at the fourth segment of this now, the consequences of being filled with the Spirit. What happens when we're filled with the Spirit? It's not some mystical experience that you're going to get the goosebumps and your hair stands up. It's a new control over your life with new power to do it, a great sense of peace in the presence of Almighty God. So take your Bible and let's turn over to the book of Colossians and this wonderful, wonderful book that Paul had written to this church at Colossae and encouraging them not to be intimidated by the world, but to walk with the Lord. So first, God gives us a different way of speaking. Look at your Bible, Colossians 3:16, verse 16, and the A part of the verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, you just take the word of God, let the Holy Spirit teach you as you read it. Fill your soul up. Dwell in the word of Almighty God. Now, watch what he says. In all wisdom, let the word of God dwell in you in wisdom. You want to get wisdom? Learn the word of God. Read the Proverbs. Teaching and admonishing one another in Psalms, that you've learned the Psalms and the hymns and spiritual songs, that you're encouraging other people, different ways of speaking. You're teaching and admonishing one another. Now, teaching means you're giving out information admonishing means you're affirming, you're giving affirmation. So it means now that you're spiritually filled and walking with God, you speak to other people. You step out and you touch their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. You bless and help others. I was at church. I wasn't preaching. I was in church last Sunday. The pastor was preaching, and with the COVID and all that, the church was struggling, and God just impressed on me to encourage him. After the service, I stopped and spoke to him and told him, I said, look, I remember as I pastored many of the many burdens at Calvary and at Highland Park Baptist Church, 45 years, and I worried about things I shouldn't have worried about. Look back on it, I'd worried, you had to raise millions and millions of dollars and problems in the hearts and lives of people and all the, and that would just weigh on your heart. And rather than just leaving it with the Lord and trusting God. So looking back on you and say, man, that was like a cloud coming. And then it just went over your life and the sun came right back out. So God says, listen, share truths of blessings from God's word that God has given you. God's songs. Amen. Now, I'm not much of a singer. I do love God's music. I do love to hear people sing and praise the Lord. But it gives you a desire to witness. You want to tell people. You want to make a difference in this world. You want to share the gospel message. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Every way that I can, writing with newspapers and preaching on the radio and preaching the Bible studies and all the other different things, preaching in churches across America and in working in the hearts and lives of people. You're inviting people to come to church. You give out tracts. I try to give out tracts every day. Now, wherever I go, I have tracts with me. And I told you, Sue and I have, when we see these people that are struggling, the poor that need help, and a lot of people, well, I don't know what they're going to do with it. They're probably going to get drunk. Well, you don't know that. But God said he'll bless you if you help the poor. If you help the poor, you're lending to God. So Sue and I, each month, we get $100 worth of $5 bills. And we put them in gospel tracts. And as we go around, we see folks, we stop and pull over and talk to them and give them the tract and say, look, here's $5. It'll buy you a hamburger and a Coke. But the most important thing is this gospel tract. Take time to read it. So the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit, gives you a different way of speaking. But listen at the second part of Colossians 3:16 and the B part. And he says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, sometimes I just do a little concert for Jesus. I got my hymn book here right behind my desk. Sometimes I'll get it out and I'll sing a song for the Lord. It blesses God. We're his children. I remember my children would come in and they would say, Papa, or Daddy, we've heard this song. We learned this new song in kindergarten or whatever. And they would just stand back and just sing it. I remember Landon would come in and just sing his little heart away. He sang at Highland Park one time. And this little light of mine, he got up there. I guess he was about 4, maybe 5. And in that big old church, he wasn't intimidated at all. He got up there and stood up and he sang it. And then he said, one more time. Some of you will remember that. Little fellow just sang right on again. But see, this is what God talks about, the Holy Spirit. You sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's coming out. Man, if you were never at Highland Park Baptist Church and heard that church sing, Behold, He Comes. I couldn't get through it without crying. I don't guess I ever finished the whole song. But it would just thunder out thousands of voices. And you'd have the sopranos and the altos and the tenors and the bass, each with a part coming in. And boy, it gave you goosebumps. But it just blessed you, thrilled you. You could sense the presence of the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit will help you in the worship. The God's grace in it, as you sing praise to him, your heart is filled with joy, the fruit of the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. And the church is filled and elated and with glad singing and praise to the Lord. You know, listen to Psalm. Turn over to Psalm if you're studying with me with your Bible. Turn over to Psalm Let me see. 92. Psalm 92. And listen to this. Listen to verses 1 through 5. This is precious. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It is. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, the Most High God. Verse 2, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. That God loves you in the morning. He's faithful to you at night. Listen, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. See, not all music is quick and fast, and some is solemn and quiet and convicting. And verse 4, for you, Lord, hath made me glad through your works. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works, and your thoughts are very deep. See, the church in your heart and life is elated with the spirit and glad singing. It's not mechanical. It's not rote. It's not tedious, an old hat. It's barely containable. Your heart is just filled with the Spirit of God and the blessing and the joy of the Lord. And now the third thing, as we look at this, and there's a different way of speaking, there's a different way of singing, there's a different way of giving thanks. Back over to Ephesians chapter 5, and listen at verse 20. Let me just read again, verse 18. It'll kind of connect a little bit. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now listen to this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, that you praise God. I've seen times I would be at a red light and somebody would be singing. And maybe you remember Squire Parsons. And he would sing Beulah Land. And I just happened to be sitting at a red light and he started singing it. I joined right in. Man, I got my head right back. I'm singing with all my heart. And I happened to turn over beside me. There was a car and a lady looking, and she just looked over there like, what in the world is wrong with you? I am blessing the Lord. Amen. I am singing for Jesus. And then in verse 20, he said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a whole different way of giving thanks. Your soul is just overwhelmed with the blessings of God. Amen. See, spirit-filled men and women don't fall into the category of grumblers and whiners, complainers, because the Holy Spirit convicts you of it. When you gripe and complain, you give yourself away. You're living in the flesh. You're walking in the flesh. A spirit-filled life is characterized by a spirit of gratitude. How good God has been. So glad to be worshiping the Lord. You know, they don't care. I remember Brother John Johnson, one of the faithful men. I think Brother John's 100 years old now, this birthday. One of the faithful men at Highland Park Baptist Church. So many good men and women. But he would come and say, the music is too loud. Man, you don't care about all that. I mean, you know, you'd get a personal thing. But if they're singing and praising the Lord, whether it's fast or slow, new courses, an old hymn, padded pews or a folding chair, that you're just rejoicing to God and you're just glad to be in church. Amen. You're so in love with Jesus. Just happy to be worshiping with the saints. Boy, when the COVID and all of that, wasn't it good to get back in church and just be under the preaching of the Word? I know we went one of the first early Sundays to Hickory Valley Baptist Church with Dr. David Kemp. David preached a wonderful message from the Word of God. And then we had communion. I mean, tears just filled my eyes. I was so blessed and thankful. I hadn't had communion. And just blessed with it. See, too many people are always fussing about someone or something. That's not walking in a spirit-filled life. Do you live a life of gratitude? Don't become a bitter old saint. Amen. Don't become so critical. Now listen, if they get away from the Word of God, they're not preaching the Word, that's time to stand up in the Spirit and say, this is not right. I mean, all of it ought to glorify and magnify the Lord, the preaching, the fellowship, the music. And I do believe we're wrong in not using our hymns. Man, through the centuries, coming from the church and godly hymns with the Word of God, I learned a lot of theology from singing the hymns. Amen? Learned a lot about the life. Martin Luther was in a great struggle with the battling the old wicked one who was discouraging him and defeated him. And when he came out of the other end of it, he wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God." I did a series for the radio stations on the hymn stories and the history behind them and the theology that they taught. And that we would play, they would have them and use them when they needed time filler. They could put them in. Listen. Let the Holy Spirit today fill you with gratitude for life. I'm alive. You know, I had that major surgery, been in pain for about 9 months, hurts every day. And I was in the doctor's office talking with him about it, and he said, "Well, I know it's hard." I said, "Well, at least I'm alive and I'm serving Jesus. And whatever, God's going to take me through. Give me wonderful times to witness." And I told the Lord, "I think I've had enough of this, if it's all right with you." Ready to move on, to move this off to the side. Let the Holy Spirit fill you with gratitude for life, for your salvation. Oh, it just fills my soul again to be saved. Just stop and thinking about it. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. For fellow believers, so many dear, precious friends. I talk to a lot of them on the phone each week and try to encourage them. They try to encourage me and are blessings. Bless people with your life, just like Jesus blessed you, all right? Now, number four, there's a different way of submitting. There's a different way of submitting as we look at this. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 21, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Watch this. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That you literally submit to one another. That you love each other and you don't. A spirit-filled person does not always have to be first. Doesn't have to have his way. Not as I want to do it the way I want to do it. They don't care who gets the credit as long as Jesus is glorified. Amen? You don't have to sit up in the front seat. You're happy to sit in the back seat. Now, there's four different relationships in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit of God talks about in this, on this different way of submitting. First, in verse 22, listen. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, God put this there. I didn't do that. Some chauvinists didn't do that. Now, these equal rights women and all this stuff, they don't like that. And I got to tell you something. The only way to do that, the only way for anybody to submit, is through the power of the Spirit of God, because we have a self-will. It takes a Spirit-filled wife and a Spirit-filled husband to live their lives, not argue over submission. I am the boss. I am the leader. You got a godly wife. She's a Christian. She's spirit-filled. She knows the Word of God. She knows the role that God has established for the family. You know, no head, you're dead. Two heads, you're a freak. It's God's design. But both have to be submitted to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that they want God's blessing on their family and on their children. Amen? And the same way, listen, it's verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. My job is to love Sue and care for her and take care of her and bless her life. One of my jobs is filling up her gas tank. She thinks the word E on the gas, when you're looking at the gauge, means enough. I got enough to get home so David can fill it up. Now, that's been one of my blessings. Keep that up and take care of her and love her and be a blessing to her. Now, you got to be spirit-filled to do that, too. We've been married this Christmas 54 years. I mean, we've been together so long, we are one. Our lives are together. And we just praise the Lord for that. But that, God says that that's a different way of submission. Children, submit yourself to your parents. Employees, submit to your employers as if it's under the Lord. Goodness. Employers, you watch over your employees because you're accountable to Christ. Submit to the leadership of the pastor. And I've tried all my ministry to be faithful to do that to other pastors. And I've been marvelously blessed in a church that sensed the leadership responsibility of the pastor and his role. And then the great role of the deacons to do all these things of caring for the church and the people and all the other. It makes a good team. Amen. Go read Hebrews 13 and watch what God says about that. So the Holy Spirit works in your life in submission. The fifth thing, the Holy Spirit gives us a different way of serving. You really can't serve the Lord right unless the Holy Spirit fills you or you're filled. There's no success or joy in doing a fleshly work. That's why so many Christians are unhappy. They're not satisfied with what God has done in their heart or in their lives because they're not yielded to the Spirit. Luke 1:15 says this. He's talking about John the Baptist. He was Spirit-filled from the womb. Listen, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. How about that? That's unique, isn't it? Peter, the Bible talks about, was Spirit-filled. And you can see again and again where God will announce these men filled with the Spirit, that God filled you with the Spirit to do the work and the job. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, the healing of this man, by what means he is made whole, listen to this. Boy, what a glorify unto Jesus. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Boy, he's just glorifying the Lord. And when they're choosing deacons, you'll remember Acts chapter 6, that God instructed them to select deacons to their role of service. And listen to Acts 6:3. Listen. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report. Listen to this. Full of the Holy Spirit. Filled of the Holy Spirit. And wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So deacons are to be Spirit-filled. And as the Spirit fills us, then he flows out of us into the hearts and the lives of other people. Amen? You remember that verse we read to you over in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, when Jesus was in the temple and he got up and he spoke and he told them about this marvelous event that God was doing. John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believed on me, out of his belly, inner being, shall flow rivers of water. And then verse 39 said, he spake of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive. So that God is working in our hearts and in our lives. You serve out of the overflow of the Spirit, the love of God, the joy of the Lord, thanksgiving and gratitude, the gifts to God. He gives you victory in spiritual warfare, protection in temptation, the Holy Spirit's alarm, guidance, the small, still voice. Don't go there. Don't do that. Later, you see the truth of the situation. Thank you, Lord. So let me ask you as we close, are you filled with the Spirit? Have you given him control of your life? Or do you still hope, this is mine, I'm not going to let that go, I'm going to do this my way? Only the Holy Spirit can enable you to walk each day with confidence. So if you're not filled, stop and spend some time with God as the Holy Spirit looks over your life and let him lead you. If you're not saved, listen, he'll speak to you and call you today and trust him by faith. Well, That's our three-part study on being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about walking in the Spirit next. Until the next program, this is David Bowler. It's my prayer that the Lord will richly bless you.